Well, good evening. Welcome back. Last semester, we took a little time off for the Christmas holidays, and we're back. You guys have a good New Year. Merry Christmas. It was wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. That's great. Well, we're back. We're getting back into it. You guys excited for this new season? This core meeting? We switched it up from house church, obviously, because we are no longer meeting in a home. We're meeting in the Lord's house, but we're just going to call it a core meeting, which is kind of a cool name. I don't know, it's debatable. But either way, this is our midweek gathering. Once a month, we're getting together and we're chopping it up. We're talking about the Bible and spending time with each other in prayer and fellowship and community and some words, some music, some discussion questions. So we're glad that you're here. It's going to be a fun little season. If you remember last semester, before the winter break, we spent a few months going over some of the aspects of discipleship. We talked about what the fathers and mothers of the faith looked like, and what brothers and sisters in the faith looked like, and what do like sons and daughters in the faith look like, if you recall. We learned about how in the Christian life there's different aspects into our relationships with one another, those who we learn greatly from, like a father or a mother, and those who we do the majority of our life with, like the brothers and sisters, and then those newer believers in the faith that we're discipling and helping them grow up and mature in their salvation. And that's all basically just discipleship. They were great messages, and if you haven't heard those, you can go. They're available on the Rock website. If you go to Experience the Rock, and you go to the messages, and you go to the West location, you'll find all those messages on discipleship. If you missed any of those are great resources you can have. Those are yours, so if you'd like. But now as we enter into this new season of our core meetings, your pastors, I thought it would be a good idea over the next few months here at this gathering to talk on another important aspect in the Christian life. We're going to be talking about our lives as Christians on mission, reaching out to unbelievers, or evangelism, being a witness, you know, living lives on mission. And our hope with these next few core meetings is that we'll stir each other up with this, like with just this love and zeal for telling other people about how amazing Jesus is. And these next few gatherings, these next few talks here in these core meetings, we're hoping that Jesus will spark this flame in all of our hearts, that we would have more of a desire to be on mission in every aspect of our personal life. We're going to be talking about living lives as Christians on mission inside of the church. What does that look like to be gospel-minded, evangelistic with new people inside the church? We're going to look at what it looks like to be on mission as Christians at work. We're going to talk about living Christians on mission in our homes and in our neighborhoods. And tonight we're going to talk about living as Christians on mission online. So as we start, I'm just going to go ahead and bring this up, because you guys knew eventually I was going to bring this Bible verse up, right? But here it is. I have a verse. This is a fact. This is the words of Jesus Christ himself here. And it's an issue that we've all got to deal with. Like, Jesus told us to do something, so we've got to respond. We've all got to do something with this verse. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you." That's Jesus telling followers of him to go and do something. And note that the Great Commission, this is called the Great Commission, this wasn't a calling to only some Christians. This is in the Bible. This is true for every one of us. The Great Commission is the calling that Jesus gave every person who calls himself a follower of him. Now, we all know that as Christians, we have a responsibility to tell other people about Jesus. Like, but how many of us actually flex that muscle is a whole different story, right? Like, we know that's our calling, that's our duty, our responsibility. But on paper, all of us who are Christians, we signed up for that, right? We counted the cost. We said, "Jesus, I've decided to follow you. I will walk with you always. Victory in Jesus." You know, we sang those songs today. But, and every one of you are the fruit of another Christian obeying this command to obey Jesus. So we're eternally grateful for men and women that followed Jesus and obeyed him when he told us to go and tell people about him. And like the obedience of those Christians literally changed our lives forever. But now when it comes to us, for us to answer that call to action, when Jesus says to us, now you go, make disciples, teach people about the gospel. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ has come. I mean, for most of us, we kind of get lost in the crowd all of a sudden. It's like we fall behind the rest of the group on field trip day when it comes to this verse, right? But the truth is, this Great Commission, this is your calling, Christian. This is your responsibility. And every person who calls himself a follower of Christ, this is our life. We all share in this together. And this may sound terrifying to some, but this is actually quite an encouraging charge that Jesus tells us to go and do something so awesome, because God has uniquely gifted each and every one of you to be useful for his kingdom. Like, he's got a purpose for you in this life. He knows every single one of you, and he wants to use you for the benefit, for the greater good of his kingdom. Like, think about that. Like, this wasn't something that Jesus just told us to do because he wants us to be nervous and vulnerable and miserable everywhere we go. Like, this was something that Jesus told us to do because he has a good purpose for it. It's his plan. He has a good work for you. Because your life on mission matters to God. You want to follow along with points, but your life on mission, it really does matter to Jesus. He will use you. Your life matters to him. You telling other people about him matters to him. He's actually asked us to do that, so he wasn't joking about that. But whether it's in the workplace or at home or with our neighbors, family members, or as we're going to dig into this evening, being on mission online, like your voice, your life, your presence, your witness online, that matters to God too. In John 15, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Like, think about that. Like, God didn't have to choose us, right, for his basketball team. When we were all standing in a line, he definitely could have picked Michael Jordan and Pistol Pete and Dikembe Mutombo, but, you know, he decided to pick average Joes and Mary Janes like us, I guess. Is that the equivalent to Joe? Jane? I don't know. Anyways. But think about it. You've been chosen. You've been appointed by Jesus Christ to bear his fruit. At home, at work, the basketball court, the barber shop, the grocery store. The God of the heavens and the earth has appointed some good things for you. And it's the truth. But do we consider that truth, like that this truth will even roll in to the influence that we could have on the social media? I believe it does. It's an obvious question I want to kind of look at today. What does it look like in this day and age to be gospel-minded or on mission in the online world? What does it look like? I mean, almost every one of you use some sort of social media. I read yesterday that there were more smartphones purchased in 2015 than there were babies born. Millions and millions and millions of people have smartphones attached at their hip with their social media accounts synced to every one of them. A platform where people who know you very well or people who don't know you well at all, they can stop and see what it is that you have to say. At the touch of a button, you're at the palm of their hands. And what's unique about this is that the demographic of the people that you communicate with online, it varies greatly. Times have changed so much. I mean, you have friends from high school, the guy you worked with at Starbucks, the gals from Zumba class, the guy who grew up down the street, the lawyer, the cable guy, the sports freak. I mean, the list goes on of the different arrays of people that are in your life on social media. But when you speak on your social media, you have this platform, like a whole bunch of people from a whole different backgrounds, they take notice at what it is you have to say. It's where people vent. It's where they share their political views. It's where you shake your fist at the president or you applaud the president and you post and talk about parenting tips and gardening questions and religious and social issues. We write reviews. We go to restaurants and we write reviews because everybody wants our opinion about the food we ate. We post blogs about the food that we eat. We debate if you should own a gun or not, if you should go paleo, if you should try CrossFit, if you should cancel Netflix for Hulu. Like, on social media, when you speak, people listen, and they like, and they comment, and they share. And what's interesting is that back in the day, Jesus found himself in lots of similar situations. He was communicating to a wide range of people as well. Like, they didn't have smartphones back then. I think they were still on dial-up or like America Online or something. But not really, but people would gather and talk and converse and do life out in the marketplaces or working out by the sea or out in the streets or in the towns and the synagogues. Wherever Jesus rolled into, he would go and he would engage all these people that he came across. Every single person that he came across, he would engage with them. men and women and fishermen, the Pharisees and children and widows and Sadducees and the Roman guards and tax collectors and thieves and the lame and the blind, and the list goes on. No doubt, Jesus, just like you, it's just like social media. You see everybody's complaints, everybody's passions and frustrations and struggles and all the works. And Jesus took advantage of every one of those opportunities, whoever it was. And social media is in the same way. We have this unique opportunity and this influence as Christians. There's this wide audience of people online waiting for us to say something, or maybe not. But there's a big problem that we must first address. Social media is a huge waste of time. Like, not entirely, right? There's an asterisk. Like, it can be a complete and total waste of time. There's some benefit to it. Some people will tell you it is a total waste of time. Amen, right? But no ifs, ands, or buts. Not going to touch it whatsoever. And that's fine. That's okay. You don't have to be on social media. But the truth is, most people do use social media. The whole world is on social media. And you can have a good influence with it. But the big problem is, for those who do use social media, if you're honest, you get on social media to kill time. Or you're not trying to kill time, but you just killed a whole bunch of time. Like, lots of time. Between Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, Snapchat, Pinterest, games and apps, you just blew 4 hours and 85% of your phone's battery. I'll go ahead and just give you full disclosure. I don't know if you know you could do this, but on your iPhone, you can go to settings, and then you can click on battery, and it will tell you in the last 24 hours how much time you spent on different apps on your phone. Now, don't judge me. There's a lot of grace here, guys, but I pulled this up yesterday. This was like 2 days ago, but I spent 27 minutes on Facebook, 15 minutes in my photos, probably thinking about which photo to post on Facebook, 12 minutes on my mail, probably trying to find the picture that I couldn't find in my photos to post to Facebook, another 14 minutes on Instagram, 10 minutes on Twitter. So don't do the math, but honestly, I spent over 2 hours on my phone yesterday on social media, and I slept for 6 hours, so I mean, you're talking, I blew a lot of time. Like, so don't judge me. There's a lot of grace here. But I want you to go do that. Maybe you go check tonight before you throw out, look at the speck in my eye. You know, y'all might have a log cabin up in yours. Amen? But I'm saying you can do that. I mean, social media can be a complete and total waste of time. But think about what if we viewed and we used our social media with a purpose? Like, what if we had an intention for it? Like, what if we treated our social media like the platform that it is to tell the world that you had a cure for a disease? Like, you would tell everybody, right? As many people as you could possibly tell. Well, you do have a cure for a disease that kills every single person, and it is sin, and the remedy is named Jesus Christ. You have the joy that a lost world is looking for in sex and drugs and music and art and video games and food. You have the hope that everybody is looking for in all of their failures. What if we took a moment out of every day with this intention to just simply point people to how amazing Jesus Christ was? I think Jesus would really bless that. You can waste an incredible amount of time online, or you can have an incredible influence online. And that's my next point. Use your life, use your influence, your social media as an opportunity to be a light in the world. Be a light in a dark world. Christian, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house, or your social media universe. That's not in the original. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Don't waste your influence online. Our culture is absolutely engaged and shaped by what they see and read on their very own phones. They didn't believe something. They wake up. They read something for 2 minutes. I now believe it, whatever it was. Thanks, blog. But I mean, we've been commissioned by God. You've been chosen. And he's told us to bear fruit, to proclaim the truth, to speak truth to a lost and dark world, and they all go to their phone every morning, every lunch break, it's like all day we're on our phones. You have an amazing privilege to speak into the lives of so many friends and family members and coworkers that aren't Christian. Remember that when you scroll through your news feeds, go, oh, Jesus tells me to go make disciples. There's an opportunity to share some truth. Jesus says a Christian will bear some fruit. Maybe I'll open my mouth this morning. Jesus says, I'm a light in the dark world. Maybe I'll say, hey, buddy, that sounds rough. I'll pray for you. Now, chances are you hang out with maybe 1-2% of the actual people who are your friends on your social media platforms. So they get to see your life up close and personal. But to the rest of the world, not so much. What they do have access to see is what you put in the online universe realm for them to see. But regardless of your relationship, you still have an opportunity, an influence, a presence in their life. You have the opportunity to, like Peter says, in your hearts, you have the opportunity to honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense, to give a defense to anyone who asks you or comments or shares or debates you online for the reason, for the hope that you have that's in you. Yeah, obviously we do that with gentleness and with respect. Everything you post can be said in such a way that can engage an unsaved person. You can show them love and patience and kindness and sympathy and empathy, and you can share with them truth. You can be a source of light in that person's dark world. You can give a defense. You can share the hope that you have. Or you can just keep scrolling. We would do good to remember that when we log in, I have an opportunity here. I can share some truth with that person. I can show them some love. I can be a light. I can give them a little juice. I can invite them into my life a little bit. Be a good steward. We jumped from point four, point three, we'll come back. It's time travel. You'll figure it out later. But be a good steward with your social media. Most people hear being a good steward and they firstly think, oh, we're going to talk about tithing and we're going to talk about money. That's not necessarily true. Be a good steward with your money and finances. Give to God what's God's. Amen. But to be a steward is to be a manager of, to a foreman, to one who looks after someone, someone who's in charge. Someone. It's not just about money. Like, stewardship is more than a good and loyal and heartfelt commitment to giving to the Lord. It's more than just managing your time and budget and children and chores and health. A good steward is one who realizes that everything they have in life is a gift from God, and they don't want to waste it. A good steward, they say, you know what, this life isn't my own. Even this cheeseburger was brought by the wonderful kindness and mercy of the Almighty Good Father. This Bible is God's perfect world. This Savior is God's perfect Son. Jesus gave me his promised Holy Spirit. I don't want to waste that. I'm not going to waste my life and my talents and my passions. I'm not my own, right? I was bought with a price. I'm going to glorify God with, I'm going to be a good steward with my body and my mind and my heart and my soul and my children and my friends and my social media too. Why not? Everything. I mean, do we think of our social media as this platform, like I said, an opportunity to magnify, to be good stewards for Jesus Christ? Or do we just repost something funny that our friend said, sinned? Are you a good steward with your social media? I mean, the ultimate question is, does your social media reveal that you are the Lord of your life? Or your kids are the Lord of your life? Or food and comic books and hiking and video games and work? Or does it reveal that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? And he can be the Lord over all those things in your life, right? You can be like, wow, Superman, volume 72, praise be to God, right? Very easy to redeem all of those things. I mean, your social media, I believe, is a stewardship issue. You have an influence on your social media page. People see what you do and like and say and comment and post and share, which can be scary for some of you because I see some of the stuff some of y'all like and I go, I wonder if he knows I can see that. But use it as an opportunity to make Jesus look amazing. Be a good steward. Don't waste it. 1 Corinthians 10. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Social media included. So what are some easy and practical ways we could be more on mission in our social media? I'll take a drink of water. Nope. Say something about Jesus, right? That's an easy one. There's some people in this church, honestly, it's like clockwork. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. I can get on Facebook, and I can scroll down. Travis is posting some sort of thing, some sort of amazing thing about Jesus. Oh, man, these pickles are so good. God, amazing. Right, here's this cool gangster rap song that spreads the gospel. You should listen to it. Wow, God's doing this amazing. It's just like it's clockwork. I don't care what time of day it is. I could wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He just posted something recently that shows how awesome Jesus is in his life. It's encouraging for me. Ronnie, Shy Ronnie over here. Every day he's posting something convicting about Jonathan Edwards. It's unbelievable. It's super encouraging. But you can say something about Jesus. Or what are you reading in your Bible? You know, talk about it. Hey, I just started a Bible reading plan. I'm 6 days in. You know, share a Bible verse. Whoa, this is convicting. You know, what stands out to you about what you've been learning and reading? What's God been working on in your life with that passage? Something maybe the pastor mentioned at church, you know, or something in your small group that your leader said that just rocked you, right? You can tweet that out. You can tweet a Bible verse. Or what are you praying for? You can tell people, hey, I've been really praying for this. Would you guys like to join me in prayer? If anybody's looking for prayer, email me. I'd love to pray for you. Hey, I'm struggling with this. Could you pray for me? I mean, if you could just show people that, like, that's easy. Hey, I'm a wicked, ruined sinner, loved and redeemed and saved by Jesus Christ, and I could really use some prayer this morning. Anybody? Amen? Share an answered prayer. God's done this amazing thing in my life. Praise God with me, you guys. Right? Invite people to pray with you. I mean, it seems so goofy, right? But that's prayer is a vital extension of our life. Why don't we just tell people about it? Post a message online. What awesome home run sermon did Josh teach last week that just totally knocked you right in the booty, right? Just like, whoa, I've got a lot of growing up to do. Go share. You can get on the Rock website. You can share that at a click of a button. Be like, I dare you to sit through this. Watch what happens, right? I mean, make that a personal goal for you when you walk in this room on a Friday night. Say, come to church. Say, God, I'm expecting you to teach me something. And then you can go home and you can share. You can tell people. You can brag about the wonderful things God's been teaching you in your life. That's an amazing thing. Or you can post an article, right? Share some good news, you know, something that you found helpful in your life, a Desiring God blog or something by Tim Keller or The Rock Church. Josh just sent an amazing E-Rock newsletter this morning, which is great, Josh. Wonderful. Psalm 119. It was awesome. You guys can go read that. I mean, that's yours. It comes every week. You can share that. You can be like, check out my pastor, Josh. This is really encouraging. It's easy to do. You can ask questions. A way to draw out your friends in real life and even online is to just ask questions. I mean, as a Christian person, it's not every day that you have somebody walking up to you or sending you a message online asking you questions about what you believe. It just doesn't happen. But you can ask them questions. We can be the communication starters. We can get that motor running. In real life, getting to know a person, you ask them a lot of questions. Where you been? What are you doing? Where are you going? How's that working out for you? That's how friendships get made. You ask questions. So one easy way to learn more about your friend and in turn for them to learn more and ask questions for you is just start asking them questions about their life. And when they see your intentional efforts to be involved and interested in their life, you'll see that your friends, they'll start to be more interested in your life as well. You know, they'll start to ask you questions. They're going to start listening to you more. Over time, you may start to hear things like this. Like, so do you have to go to church every week? Or is that a thing? Like, you want to go? Tell me about that, you know? Or what does the Bible say about having to go to church or raising your kids? Your kids are different. How do you do that? That's crazy. That's amazing. I'd like to. Or what does the Bible say about alcohol and tattoos? What do you guys do? I was told believing this once. What does the Bible say? Like, naturally, when you're building in relationships with people and asking questions, all of a sudden you have these perfect 1 Peter 3 moments where you can go, whoa, I can honor Christ here in this conversation. I could be prepared to make a defense for the hope that I have with gentleness and with respect. Like, I can do that. Or invite people to church, right? Just simply invite somebody to church. Jesus Christ has called every single one of us to be a light in a dark world. In our social media platform is just another extension of an opportunity for us. It's literally the easiest way. It's a click of a button way that you can be on mission and invite people into your life. And God will be pleased with it. I promise. I know he'll be blessed by that. You know when the Rock Church shares a post online, the only people who see it are the people who like the Rock Church's like Facebook page. That's simple enough, right? You're not going to see advertisements for beer companies if you don't drink beer. So if you don't go to church and you don't care about Jesus, you're not going to see information about the Rock Church. But did you know what happens when you like, share, comment, post on the Rock Church page? Every person that is your friend on your social media side of the world, they see that post. Like, say you have 100 Facebook friends, and 10 other people in this room have 100 Facebook friends. That's hard math, but I think that's 1,000 plus 10. That's 1,100, including you. So say you and 10 other people in this room shared an invite. Come to the Rock Church tonight, blah, 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 Friday night on Facebook. That's 1,100 people, more than likely, who aren't going to look at the Rock Church page, just got an invite post telling them that there's a church service tonight. Something that takes literally 3 seconds and takes no real effort on your part, and you just had an impact. Go pass out 100 flyers on your lunch break and time it. Then click and share a post online and come back to me and tell me which one took longer. I mean, but could you imagine if 5% of the people that we invited came to church, say those 11 people invited their 1,100 people by clicking a share button on Facebook, 1,100 people, right? Imagine if 5% of those people came to church. Just 5% success rate. I believe that's like 55 people. Is that right? You're an engineer? Yeah, that's 55 people. Do you know, you know how amazing of a problem that would be? We wouldn't have enough room. We wouldn't have even enough chairs in this room if that happened. We would run out of room. That would be an amazing problem to have, right? I mean, it can seem so tacky and foreign and weird to be like, hey, you know what? If you're bored tonight, come to church with me. But I mean, really, it's not. It's intentional. It's inviting. It's loving. And believe it or not, people want to feel invited and welcomed and loved. I remember last time I taught at the house church core meeting, I quoted Golden Girls. And so I'm going to do it again. I'm going to quote something else. People, you know, sometimes people, they just want to go where everybody knows their name, right? And they're always glad you came. Cheers, anybody? But you have an opportunity. You can offer that. We've all been here at this church building for a year now. 12 months. 13, but who's counting? Me. And we've been preaching the gospel, the good news about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, every week. The only hope that there is for a fallen world to be saved from the consequences of their sins is preached here. Every week, the hope of reconciliation and forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation, that's who we boast about every week here, every week. Why aren't we using every opportunity to get everybody we know to come through those doors and sit up and fill these empty seats? Do me a favor tonight, I have a challenge for you. Scroll through your personal, your recent posts in the online world of yours and see when was the last time you mentioned a post you invited somebody to come to church with you. You don't have to let me know when, but it probably might be convicting for most. Have you even done that before? What's stopping you? If we use our social media as opportunities for us to grow in our relationships with other people, with non-believers, that will only open up the door for better real-life relationships with people. Communication, asking questions, telling somebody that you're going to pray for them, encouraging them, involving them in the events of your life, that has an effect on people. I'm fruit of that. These two people, these two weird punk rock dudes and dude, his wife, Tony and Shannon, invited me to come do all of this weird stuff with them that was Christian. And it changed my life. They just loved me and they included me in all the stuff that they were doing. And it had a tremendous impact on me. And you being a Christian person, naturally, a big chunk of your life is pretty dedicated to Jesus, right? Like every morning, you know, we're praying daily. Hopefully, we're reading our Bibles and we're praying. And weekly, we dedicate time to the church, to the gathering, these people here. You know, whether it's a Friday night church service or a midweek core Bible study, midweek meeting, whatever we're calling them. Not to mention the ladies' nights and dudes' nights and the mommy's play dates and the everyman's Mondays and the movies and the play dates and the dinners and the after church hangouts and the birthday parties and the barbecues and the hiking. I mean, the list just goes on. We do a lot of life together. And if this Jesus, who is a big deal in our real life, started getting some more of the airtime in our social media world, if we started inviting and including and talking about these things that fill up so much of our time with other people, they'll start to notice. And when you start to use your social media in that way as this on-mission purpose to let people know they're included and they're welcome in your life, these are my friends, this is what you do, you should come hang out with us sometime. They start, you know, you start to grow with these people. Like over time, those unsaved friends and family members and coworkers, they start to see you like as truly like you really start. They're like, wow, that person really actually cares about me. They invite me to all this weird stuff that I never in a million years would want to go to. And maybe over time, that person's like, huh, that Bible study at Philip and Kaylee's house doesn't seem so strange anymore. Like, oh, I know Kaylee. I went to the ladies' night at her house that one time. Or, oh, I went to laser tag with Philip. I know that dude. All of a sudden, they start to know the people you are doing life with regularly on mission in the local church. I mean, you've talked to them about your friends, you've invited them to things, they've heard about your church friends before, and they've met them, right? You've invited them to be a part of their life, and that can have a tremendous impact on them. When people feel loved and people feel invited, cheers, always think of that, right? Somewhere, people just want to go where everybody knows their name. That feels good. So as we close, don't waste your influence, the influence that you have in the social media world. But keep posting pictures of your food and your babies and the new jacket, and I can't wait to read your review about the new restaurant that you went to. I'll have to try out that new exercise next time, John. The hiking gear you got, Kaylee, looks rad. I mean, it's great. I'm not saying shut any of that down. Don't do that. I'm not a fun hater. I'm a fun lover, okay? Have fun. Enjoy life. Share those moments with us. We want to see those. That's a lot of fun. But maybe we can all strive to be a little bit more intentional. Engage social media with the purpose of magnifying Jesus. Let that be a new muscle that we all try and exercise, maybe once a week, maybe, then we'll try it twice a week. Start by inviting people to church on Friday night. I promise you, on Friday, I know a dude, he's going to post a thing on the page, and he's going to invite everybody to come to church. Try it. Click, like, post, share, done. Like we said, Friday's going to be our one-year anniversary. It's going to be fun. We're going to look about all the wonderful things God's doing. That's a wonderful time to invite your friends and family and coworkers and neighbors to come to church. Come see all the wonderful things God's been doing in my life over the last year. And I'll be the first to admit, I know I have a lot to do in this area as well. I need to get better at being a better witness online. But imagine if every Christian in this room decided to take one step up in being a little bit more intentional, online or not, right? The real world, even better. But I think God will bless that. Let's be Christians who are living our lives on mission online. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you that we can meet here. Thank you that this room is warm and my friends are lovely and that we can hang out and spend time with each other. Thank you, Jesus, that you love them and you love me. Jesus, we ask that you would do an amazing work in our lives as Christians living on mission. We are 1 year into a church plant, Jesus, and we want to continue to just put in work for you. We want to do a good work for you. We want to make our dad glad. So Jesus, we ask for your grace, and we need your hope, and we need your joy, and we need some strength from you. Maybe it's the most terrifying thing in the world to have a presence online to magnify you, Jesus. But we ask that you'd give us the courage and strength to do that. Help us find ways to step it up in our lives to point people to how amazing you are, Jesus. We love you. We give the rest of our night to you. We're going to break down some questions. We give that to you, Jesus. We pray that we could be honest and encouraging and we could pray for one another. Then we're going to eat some awesome snacks thanks to the Karst and Stoddard small group. So, Jesus, thank you for them. Thank you that we could meet here this evening. It's in your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.